and welcome to Radio PRS. I'm your co-host, Mike Ranton. Radio PRS is brought to you by the Psychical Research Society of Kansas City. PRS is a not-for-profit organization whose purposes include programs and activities to investigate, study, research, administrate, discuss, interpret, and expand information concerning psychic phenomena, parapsychology, and related subjects, and to disseminate information by any and all media of communication. The Psychical Research Society is not just an organization for those who practice the intuitive arts. We're here for anyone who's interested in exploring the subjects covered in our mission statement. If you'd like more information on becoming a member, please visit our website at prskc.org. Our guest this evening is international author, teacher, and healer, Bill Foss. You can call in and talk with Bill and Nikki this evening at 646-668-8212. Now here's your host, Nikki Williams.
Good evening, Mike. How are you this evening?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm absolutely fabulous. It's a little chilly here in Kansas City right now, but that's to be expected. It is December. We have lovely weather in the 60s, and I've been blessed with that, and I'm blessed to enjoy it. Now I'm enjoying a little bit of that wintertime crispness. I am so excited about our guest this evening, Bill Foss. Bill, I am so pleased to welcome you on our show. Thank you for joining us.
Hi, Nikki. It's good to be here. How are you tonight?
I am absolutely wonderful. Like I said, it's a little crisp, but it's beautiful here. here where we're at now. Where are you calling us from this evening? Because I know you've been all over the place as of late.
Yes, I'm in the Dallas area this evening.
Beautiful area. Really neat area, neat people. Love Dallas. Love you, Dallas.
Yes.
Give Dallas a big hug for me.
Okay, we'll do. Yeah, it's a great area. There's a lot of good energy down here as well, and great healers, great centers, some great stuff going on down here in the Dallas area, just like there is in Kansas City.
Wonderful, wonderful. And, you know, I love to see that in areas that I don't think a lot of people necessarily consider more of a hub of metaphysical community, but there really is, just like in Kansas City, Dallas, Tulsa, lots of these Midwestern and Southern, cities that you often wouldn't associate with that, but it's really true. It's lovely to see the type of spiritual growth that's happening on a larger scale.
It sure is. And, you know, Nikki, it's been interesting over the last few years to watch as the energy continues to shift on the planet. It's been very interesting to watch the spiritual communities, the metaphysical communities develop in these areas, just basically just coming up out of the woodwork, you know, Dallas being one. Kansas City, the energy there has shifted in the last few years and as of late, and it's really interesting what's going on there.
Very much so, very much so. And I am I'm so excited to have you here tonight. What I want to do, and what I do with all of our guests when we start out, is I ask a little bit about you. I want to know, tell us a little bit about Bill Foss, about your journey and how you got to the point where you are right now.
Well, okay.
I'm sure that's a book in and of itself.
Sure. I'm accessing memory banks. So basically, I grew up, you know, in a very, very small town in northeastern Oklahoma. And as a small child, I just started to notice that I was different. There was a big question mark, and I didn't know. Basically, I didn't know what I didn't know. I didn't know why I was so sensitive, and the rest of the surroundings, even the family, the school, the community was so different than I was. So, what I did is I focused my attention inwards, and I started getting creative. And I have been a natural artist since the time that I could hold a pencil. And I think there's some natural talent there, but it was also a lot of practice and that was my meditation. That was my inner world, my, you know, that I created. So I spent a lot of time with a drawing pad in front of me or some chalk or colored pencils and really creating another world in front of me on paper. So I went through my school years and everything, continuing to be different, just sort of reserved, you know, a quiet person, as there are all types of people, you know, and we get in touch with this when we start to recognize our differences and similarities when we're with our classmates and such. And in my junior high school years, I started to get into the guitar, and I started to, it was a little bit more expressive. So I got into sound, you know, and rock and roll. And I was just, it was very colorful. I loved it. As soon as I got in touch with music, I had to learn to play guitar. So I got into it and really explored it. After high school, went into a professional career as a touring musician, singer, songwriter, performer, lead guitars and vocals. And I did this for many years, traveled all over the country, started working around the Midwest, Tulsa, Dallas, Little Rock, Kansas City, these places, and then started to branch out and work with different agencies across the country. Well, I did this up until the point where I got into art school. I went back into my art. I was searching. My higher self was searching for something, and I didn't quite know what it was. So, in my travels, I got to the point where I had the band stuff was winding down for me after a couple decades, and after art school, I'd moved out to the Southwest, which we know is a great place for healing and metaphysics. And I started to find some small stores. I got in touch with, I would go into Barnes & Noble, and I would stand in front of this huge wall of books and go, oh, my God, please help me to pick something that, because there's everything under the sun, you know, as far as metaphysics go, and especially with the resurgence of metaphysics in our modern times, publishing companies were really, really, churning out a lot of books on different subjects. So, basically, I got into Tai Chi, I got into yoga, meditation. I went back into my art. I opened an art studio, and I found myself asking deeper questions. And I prayed one night. I remember I prayed, and I said, God, please, please show me the way that all of this works. Please give me a sign. You know, I was really, really praying from the depths of my being. And it was like an energetic signature or calling card that I was ready to open and that I was stepping into this path. I didn't know that at the time. The next day, I was driving across the greater Phoenix area. And I was driving to a graphics job where I was illustrating a book for a lady. And I didn't know why, but I pulled into a store and I got out. It was a used bookstore, and I walked in and I walked all the way to the back, and I turned and I faced the shelf, and there was a book set called The Life and Teachings of the Masters of the Far East. So I picked it up, I looked at it, and I walked up to the front counter and I set it down, and the lady said, do you really want this? And I said, well, yes. You know, as like I'm going to purchase it. She said, no, I mean, do you really want this? And all of a sudden I got chills because I felt like it was a spiritual message. So wow. I took the book set home at the end of the day, and I started reading, and I found out that there were masters that had been throughout history living on the other side of the world, out in nature, and these Hindi and Buddhist and different cultures these masters that were manifesting thought to form, that were bilocating, that were healing the sick, that had deep insights about love. And all of a sudden, it just broke me wide open. I was so excited about life. It was like winning the lottery, because I was searching so deep and had nothing to go on, you know. I got to the point where art, with all the creativity that I was experiencing in life, and it was a really colorful journey, all of the art, all of the music, the performance, the shows, the paintings, it just wasn't answering my question. It just wasn't serving its purpose for me. So when I found this, it just literally broke me wide open. I couldn't wait to continue to get into it. So I continued my meditations, my yoga, soaking in different practices from around the world, reading books, like a lot of us do when we get excited about the spiritual path or learning more about the ways that it all works. And not long after that, like within a week or 2 weeks, something like that, I was directed to find out about the Akashic Records. And this was in the early 90s, when there wasn't a lot out there on it. The only thing that you could find, literally, was Edward Casey's books. And Edward Casey has a wonderful collection that are primarily case studies where a lot of deep insights from Atlantis, Christ's life, and healing of others was brought through. So we're getting deep information, but still I was asking, where is this coming from? So I really didn't get into his work that deeply, but I did, you know, I did delve into it a little bit. When I found the right teacher and a private teacher, and started to work with the records and read his works, I was blown away. All of a sudden, I didn't know why, but I knew all of it. As it was reading it, it's coming into me. I'm practicing meditations. I'm going into the records. I'm having these profound experiences. And I didn't have a reference point for it. So, you know, a lot of times we see people at the expos like this. You know, we see people come in, their lights have just been turned on, and they're just, they're a 1,000-watt light bulb looking around in wonderment. And they want all of it, and we're trying to put it into words in a way that's supportive and direct them to their next step, so they can get, you know, so we can get them stable with their opening, their expansion, their self-realization, or enlightenment, where they're going to land with it all. this was quite profound for me, and I had no reference point for it, because none of the artists that I talked to on a day-to-day basis had anything, no knowledge of it, and most people in the spiritual community didn't either, I found. So, and at the time in the early 90s, there were no modalities to, you know, there wasn't access consciousness, there wasn't theta healing. There was Reiki, but it was still in Japan and it was local to that country. There wasn't anything except yoga, tai chi, and acupuncture. we had ancient books like Alice Bailey, The Secret Doctrine, and Madame Blavatsky's works, where they refer to the masters and they refer to the records and some deeper understandings. So I just continued to do my yoga and different modalities, my different classic, my qigong, my tai chi, my meditations, and go through my life experiences and have unfoldings happen while I was working with the records. As I continued to work with the records and have one or two supportive readings per year, over the next, now it had been 20 years, that had been 20 years ago, during that time, with the meditations and everything, and going in and getting my own information, which is another interesting thing, because when we get our information, when we get deep levels of information about past life, sometimes we literally have no reference point for it. So it's really all about trust in the moment. And that's something that I talk a lot about in the workshops, trusting that intuition in that moment. So I continued. Finally, I got so full of information that another one of my teachers in my travels, she had asked me a question. She said, "What are the Akashic Records?" And standing in her kitchen one night, I gave her 30-minute discourse. You know, I mean, it just came pouring out of me, and I could feel it coming out, you know, and there was a relief after there was a certain energetic relief that I felt after all of that information came out. I knew in that moment I was supposed to teach. I didn't know how, I didn't know where. And so I say teach. What I started to do is I started to go out and lead groups and into Akashic Records journeys. So, and I would share what I knew from what I had learned so far. So I was stepping into this path of a teacher even with no reference point for that. So it was very, you know, very colorful, a very colorful in the moment, you know, path to be on. And as I continued doing this, and the classes developed, and I was in Austria. I went over to Austria for a metaphysical, spiritual arts and music festival in 2007, I think. And I'd led two or three smaller gatherings here in the U.S. And I had a friend say, what are the Akashic Records? And I told her. And she said, "Well, you must come and speak to our group." And the next thing I knew, I was standing in front of 30 people with an interpreter at a restaurant, you know, in a huge presentation room, in a banquet room. So that really was my first, it felt like that was my first gathering.
Right. That's a bit of a springboard for you there. Just, you know, and one of the things that stands out to me about your journey, which is just amazing and beautiful, is there are so many steps that you have taken just in faith. I always define faith as an action, not a belief that yes. You know, I believe the floor is going to hold me up, but until I step on it, you know, to do that, that's not real faith. But it's like you've taken so many of those steps in faith, and it's amazing when we do that, the kind of doors that just, and windows and everything that just fly open, and how it just all pours through. But I suppose you might know now what my next question is going to be, because you were just talking about it. What are the Akashic Records? Just so we can get our listeners more familiarized.
Sure, absolutely. Well, the way that I'll share this with you, Nikki, and the way that I've been sharing it when I get when I have to speak in front of a large group in a short amount of time, like a 30-minute or an hour presentation, so that you can get your mind around it, or listeners as can get their minds around it. I look at the Akashic Records. I'll explain it in three different ways. Okay, you can look at it as a modern-day modality, because now it is, along with everything else, and most people can see that. Oh, well, this person does psychic. This person does straight psychic awareness. This person does like astral projection of some sort. This person is doing theta healing. This person is doing Reiki, and so on and so forth. This person is doing Akashic Records. So it shows up as a modern-day modality along with everything else. The other, number two, is that it is actually an ancient mystical system of divination. So it's an ancient mystical practice of divining information from what the Egyptians called the afterlife. What the ancient holy land, in holy times they call it heaven, from the Akashic records themselves. A lot of the ancient magicians, or also philosophers, leaders, priests that were leading to help develop society, even ancient esoteric groups such as the Rosicrucians, individuals like Nostradamus, Leonardo da Vinci, they were all doing it in their own way. Some naturally, some were projecting in. So let's say, for instance, the Rosicrucians would come together in a group behind closed doors, and they would have their special night of meditation, and they, like others, like many other groups, would practice projecting. So it's like astral projection, but it's deeper than that. It's deeper and it's clearer than that. So it's an ancient mystical practice of divining information from the records themselves, from the books of life of the souls, or looking at the collective of souls as humanity over the course and history, past, present, and future of the world. The third is that I like to share with people that it is an actual place. So you've got three different, an actual place being that when we astral project, when we do a deep guided meditation, and we move up through the dimensions, we move through out of third, through fourth, which is the considerations of the mind and the mental field, through fifth, which is the astral plane, where it's basically the grand central station of coming and going for all the spiritual beings and the souls to the earth plane, we project up into the higher dimensions where there is an actual place. And it's like a great library. And it has a very heavenly vibe to it. It has a very soft. So if people are working with the angelic realm, you can feel that mental. It is a spiritual energy, but it has a different feel to it. It's highly charged when you're working with the angels and the angelics. Sometimes other healing entities on the other side, so the John of God healing entities or Native American spirits, and when you're doing shamanic work with the earth, which is also akin to the soul energy, much like Akashic, shamanic being more earth-based, Akashic being more sky-based, then it has like a really, really soft, definite feel to it, and it feels like home. If you really get in there and you keep practicing and you keep going there, it is a place. The ancient groups over the course of history, from visiting there, it's a place that has been that does exist, that is always added to, that's writing itself, that's writing through the records themselves. And there's art, what I call archetypal imagery, which is the constructs of the individuals, the groups, and the collective of souls visiting there and what they perceive it to be. So it's literally held in place in that way. In that way, when we go up, we see a temple because it's been projected through the minds of those visiting there so many times as a temple, it's literally created as such. Now, it's also another dynamic is that the angelics, when they're taking souls after a death or a near-death experience or even a dream or whatnot, when somebody is supposed to start doing work in the records or they're going there to get some specific piece of information, they might be shown a nice terrace, you know, with a beautiful garden. They might be shown a great hall that contained like a library that's very peaceful. They might see a temple that looks Grecian or Egyptian. They might see a great temple that's emanating with golden light, you know, with certain specific power sources in it that are spiritual. And these are all shining energy from the place into the soul of the individual, and from the soul of the individual that's visiting there in that moment down through the senses and the mind of the physical body. So it's a very, very interesting dynamic. I sort of went into a lot of specifics there, but those are the three overviews of what the Akashic Records are. You know, that's a good way to look at, you know, you've got a modern-day modality, you have an ancient system of divination, and you have an actual place. And the word Akasha actually means sky library, and that translates from several ancient cultures, ancient Sumerian, ancient Tibetan, ancient Egyptian. Sky library is where the ancients went to get information about guiding the future of humanity, about getting in touch with God, about understanding and knowing their self at a greater level.
Mm. And it's just so incredibly, the entire concept of it is so expansive. Kudos to you for putting it into the words that you did in that short amount of time, because I don't think I could even put it into an hour.
I agree.
I think that's a beautifully worded explanation. I really do. What I want to ask you now is, in your accessing of those Akashic Records, kind of what is your process for that? Because I know that you don't just teach, but you also do individual readings and healing sessions.
Yes.
And things like that.
Yes.
What kind of process do you go through?
Well, I write about this in the book, Nikki. There are several ways that you can access. Every so often we'll talk with a psychic at one of the shows or just a conversation somewhere, and they'll say, well, you know, I just go there, poof, and I'm there. That's the end result. That's our birthright, just like psychic awareness. We're all connected to it continually. Every single soul is connected to it continually. And our book of life, our records are being written through our experiences by us continually, energetically, harmonically, as we go through all of our experiences here as a soul enjoined with a physical body. You can access the records through doing a session with another person. So that's one way to do it. You can access through the heart. You can access from the heart. Because we're connected to the records, our body souls and our celestial or energetic soul, our soul field, is connected to this. So you can literally access through the body. Another way that the ancients did it was and this is not very common to do, but it's very interesting when you do, is to go instead of projecting up, to project deep down into the earth. Because the earth has, the inner earth has very, very interesting energy. Some would say, call it magical. Some would say there are other worlds there, there are other dimensions, there are light beings, and all of these are true. But there are places that are very beautiful in the inner earth. You can project into, through a guided meditation, project down into the earth and connect just as well as moving up. Reason being is because the Akashic records are for the earth. There's a separate set of records for each planet. So the Akashic records are specific to the planet itself, to the earth. So the main way that I like to do it is the way that the ancient Egyptians did it, that some of the esoteric groups did it, that the monks doing astral travel and the way that they found it, the ancient siddhas, is literally just go sit, excuse me, coffee is needed.
I understand.
Excuse me.
Not a problem. It's okay. I'm having those issues myself today.
The way that the ancients did it, and the way that many of these ancient groups, individuals, and these ancient practitioners found it, was to literally go into a deep state of meditation, like projecting, and project through the mind, and let the mind go with the soul up through, travel out of the body, and go up into the sky library, to go up there, to project into it, and literally to go into a temple and ask to read their records, ask to read their own records. Now, that's the way that I teach, that's the primary way that I teach individuals to do it. It's the easiest for them to get their minds around. And it just seems like mainstream for the souls, it's the easiest way to do it. Because of there are multiple reasons to do it that way as opposed to the other one, the other ways. I teach individuals and groups to do it that way first, so they get an understanding of where it is and what the dynamics are from your body, your soul field, your senses, the energy stream traveling up, connecting in, looking, viewing, reading, seeing visions, getting information, thanking the keepers, and then coming back down and coming back into the moment, which you haven't gone anywhere. You're in both places when you're really doing it. You're here and you're there. So, but it's like you're having a very lucid dream that you're intending, and that's the, for all practical purposes in this conversation, that's the most common way, and that's the way I teach people in the class. They learn more about the other dynamics that are associated with the whole experience, and you can always get subtle information and along the way, as you're going through that process, it's a very unique experience to go into.
I think that process, which is very much like my own process, I do think that it's probably one of the easier ways to learn to access that information. Yeah, that's wonderful. I also think that for me personally, this is just my own experiences, that there's a deep sense of knowing. It's not a sense of, well, it might be this or it might be that. It's no, this is the way it is.
Yes,
this is
yes,
the answer. That's all there is to it.
Yes, I agree. There, you know, there are a few different reasons. There are a few different reasons which no one of them is more important than the others for the Akashic Records' existence. Comment back to when I referred to astral travel into the records. The interesting thing about using that term to describe going there is most of the times when people astral project, they're just out flying around.
Yeah.
They'll fly around space and check it out and have it's for the experience of astral travel itself, developing, being able to learn how to do that. When you project into the records, you have a target. You have a place that you're going to. And so your mind, your guides, your soul, different levels of yourself, they know what they're asking for. They know, and you develop a way of getting there and going in. The records is protected. You know, it's harmonically protected by virtue of what it is. It is the records of all of the souls and all of their lifetimes. And as you use the word knowing, that's central. That is central to the existence of the records. One of the main reasons why the records exist is so that a soul, being a celestial being, everlasting, that travels to the earth to become enjoined with a physical human form and start to have experiences, can learn to know themselves, learn to know who they really are in human form. And this is God's work. This is part of the whole of creation. These are deep meanings as to why we're here. So when we go in, when we go up to the records and we find out about different past lives, when we look at karmas that we need to clear or things that we need to heal, we're able to talk to family members that have passed, we're able to get... maybe see some different marks or places on our soul where we lost a part of our soul or soul fragments, and we're able to see what we need to work on. We see it, we can see it and feel it. And we can get visions. It's so colorful, Nikki. It can happen in any number of ways. So a family member can meet us in the records and tell us everything we need to know for that journey. It could be an angel, it could be an ascended master or one of our guides. It could be God. It could be your higher self. Or you may just go in and you may just start to have visions, or actually read a book or a scroll and ask questions, and the keepers will talk to you. And what this brings when you come back is it brings another part of you to a great circle of chairs or a gallery, and another part of you is filled in. And so the person, whoever's using the records, is able to sit there over a period of time. So let's say somebody goes to, somebody's had several readings and they say, well, yeah, somebody kept telling me that I was Pleiadian or I was from the Pleiades and I didn't really understand it. I kind of feel that. I feel that that's right, but they don't really understand it. So then they go in and they journey and they see an alien culture. They see the Pleiadian culture and they say, wow, this is great, you know. They might see other like-minded individuals, or they might have a Pleiadian guide that will come through in the records and talk to them directly and say, this is what you're feeling. This is the reason why you feel energy, is because we work in a heightened vibration in our culture. And the same could be, I'm just using that as an example, the same could be with, if somebody had a deep connection with the earth and Native Americans, and then a Native American guy came in and said, you were Native American, and these are some of the things that you did. So in that way, it can be inspiring for us when we find out about the records. It becomes very inspirational. There is a certain wow factor that people experience when they find out, you mean I can find out everything about past life and all of these things? Yes, absolutely. And, you know, maybe I was involved with certain groups or in a certain culture that made things happen. Yes, absolutely. So people are able to, the souls, as you said, are able to know themselves, and you're able to know yourself as yourself at the clearest level. You're able to look at your look at all of the good deeds, the triumphs, the missed opportunities. Look at conflicts, deaths, tragedies, all of these things in other lifetimes. And if you can stay in there and do it, keep your eyes open to it and look at it, when you come back, it gives the individual an experience of knowing why they just went through a similar experience in this lifetime a lot of times. So there's a whole there's a whole, you know, hour discussion or longer just on that.
Yes, very true.
That, when you come back, and what it does, let me paraphrase this a little bit. What it does for an individual is it shows them cause and effect, karmic connections, whether good, bad, or indifferent, karmic connections to other times. Karmas are sometimes self-imposed. So yeah. Karmas can be, and here's a big stumbling block for a lot of people in knowing themselves. A lot of times we think karma is just bad, and a lot of times because the soul is good and we're trying to wake up, we think that our own minds, because our minds are very powerful. Our own minds can project a karma without there really being a karma there, or they can actually amplify a karma by adding a charge to it, you know? So when you're able to go into the records, you're able to see past these things. You're able to see past the what ifs, why not, you know, and you come back. Now, from that point, another interesting dynamic that's very unique to the records themselves is when the individual comes back, or you work with somebody who doing the Akashic Record sessions, and you're able to bring back information on this level, your soul is connecting into the records, and your soul is an infinite being. Your soul is an infinite part of God, unique in your own nature. There's no one else like you. And you're perfect without end. Perfect spiritual being. And you're able to bring this information back. You're able to sit with it. And that sitting with it, on two different levels. In the mind, you're able to look and see, well, okay, yes, I can see why I just went through this phase of my life based on things that I saw in the records. Yes, I understand the similarity. It might be a bit of a jigsaw puzzle when people get into it, but it's a lifelong experience, you know. So or several years, or when people choose to get into it or stay connected to it and stay and practice on this level, when you open into the records like this, you'll start getting parts, fragments, whole stories. And when you find out for yourself something that no one else could tell you from the records, you've just done an amazing thing, because you have trusted your own self to divine this information, and you're going to sit with it. Because you have no reference of good and bad, and no one else has told you, you must sit with it. On that level, yeah, it's going to bring self-knowing. There's no way that it won't bring self-knowing. It will bring that individual self-knowing, because they'll never forget that. They'll always remember that they found that about themselves. Once that happens, for a lot of people, once that happens, another dynamic, and this has occurred for me also, then, interestingly enough, then it starts coming up at readings by other people. But it might not have beforehand, because they want you to get it. They want you to see it in a dream. They want you to ask, do the questioning and go in and find the answers. When you get your own answers, there's something that is, it's really interesting. There's something that's beyond words that you can't quite put into words, that it just brings a part of your soul. Your eyes are looking, the mind's eye is looking through the soul and seeing another part of itself in another time and place. And there's an energetic understanding that plugs in there. And so it very subtly, it helps to change a person.
Wow. Yeah, it truly does. I agree with that wholeheartedly. Oh, yeah. And I think that it starts out subtly, but I think eventually as you look back, and I think I'm one of those hindsight of 2020 kind of people, you know. I love looking back and seeing, okay, this is where I was 5 years ago. Wow, look where I've come to now. And I didn't notice it as much while it was happening, but, oh, the amazing journeys themselves, speaking of journeys.
The book is called
Journey to the Akashic Records. Tell us kind of what you're hoping to accomplish with the book. And I noticed that there's also a workbook, is there not?
Yes. There's a workbook that I developed for the classes. Well, thank you for asking about the book, Nikki. It's literally part of my life's work. Excuse me. Part of my journey. And after teaching, traveling around the country and overseas to teach over the past 10 years, up to the point of 2013. I had already written my first book called The Secrets of Spiritual Success, which I based on the whole opening and understanding of spirit, basically a spirituality 101 book that had that God channeled, and he said, I want you to write a book. And I was like, I'm not an author. He's like, well, just design a cover. Just see what you get. Just see what you get. And I was like, okay, well, there's the cover. Wow. I said, I can see that. I could purchase a book like that. So they said, I said, but God, what's in it? And he said, go in and write the table of contents. So I wrote the table of contents. I could feel like a light, an inspirational, a creative channeling process happening while I was writing the table of contents. I wrote it and I looked at it and I thought, well, I can write about. I mean, I can write about everything here. So then God started to work with me, or the guides, the angelics, my friends and teachers on the other side, and the book developed into a 200, I think it's 230-some-page book that had individual chapters independent of each other with 36 different meditation and healing techniques in it from around the world that I had studied over the last 20 years. So there was a book that I didn't know why it was turning out the way that it was when I wrote it, and it's a book for anyone that's waking up that doesn't know where to turn for answers, or anyone that's going through trauma or just needs deeper insights, needs inspiration in life. That was the template for the book. This was 2012 when I wrote that, and when I finished that, 18 months start to finish in the making. 2013, I was in Austin, Texas, and I came to a point where I thought, well, you know, I think maybe it's time to write like a little a supplemental teaching guide, because, you know, in an 8-hour class, you can imagine with the level of information that we're talking about here, that there's a lot of explanations and colorful lecture-type descriptions that need to be conveyed in order to get the point across of the record. So I thought, well, okay, so a small teaching guide will be good. I sat down and I started writing, and I thought, well, this is going to be a 150-page book. It turned out at 250 pages, I was still going. And they were also not only, it was a blend of two things. It was a blend of all the information that I was teaching individuals to work with in a 3-day workshop, and then they were channeling more. They were just pouring information through. So because I'd already taught it for 10 years, I had a pretty good, I had platform to write from. And I started writing that down and all of the other information that came through, which I had to sit with, you know, and really go over it and make sure that I wasn't, you know, just going to be a bunch of extra airy-fairy stuff that was going to fall by the wayside. So, I mean, I really had to sit with it. And what turned out was a 400-page book with two glossaries that I wrote and I channeled in 3.5 months.
Wow.
Just, I mean,
that's
was
incredible.
It was fast and furious. It was amazing.
Yeah.
That when I turned around and looked back, I thought 3.5 months. Of course, then I had the editing process after that, so I was about at five and a half, 6 months with the whole project, as opposed to, so I wrote that book and start
to
finish.
Wow.
It was something else to be involved with. After I wrote the book, and I mean after I had it, and again here I am with the second book. And I'm looking at it and going through it and poring over it. And, you know, we're using it in the classes. We're very helpful in the workshops because people are able to, like, do a journey or do a meditation exercise and then go in and write about it, make notes, you know, or draw pictures and symbols, whatever they need to do. The book itself is really, and you know, I searched over the years, I searched for a book to tell me something about the records. And I found that there were a limited amount of books on the market that had any deeper knowledge about the records themselves,
right.
which is what I had been teaching in these deep descriptive workshops naturally without knowing what I was doing when I started over the last 10 years. So when I wrote the book, it wasn't like I did a market research and went, okay, well, I want to find a, you know, modality that nobody else is doing, or here's a subject matter that I can write about that nobody else really has. There's not a whole lot of information in these other books. I just did it naturally.
Yeah, and I think that's when we're at our most spirit-led, in essence, when it's just coming naturally.
Yes, yes. But, you know, in looking back and getting some references, I think that's the reason why, I think that's one of the main reasons why Spirit had me write it, because it's such a vast place. And a lot of spiritual masters refer to it. A lot of teachers refer to it. It comes up in a lot of other books or spiritual teachings, but no one had really written about where it was, why it existed, who goes there, what are the different ways to get there, all of these different things. There are other authors out there that are writing about processes to go through.
Right.
In my humble opinion, I feel like this book, it has a lot more description that
right.
an individual can gather without taking them off into left field too far.
Right. I think that's something that was a need that you were able to fill. I'm going to have to stop you for just a minute because we're almost
sure.
out of time. I need to go to Mike very quickly, just briefly, so he can tell us about the upcoming events of PRS, and then we'll be back with
Excellent.
You for a few last words. You can tell us how to find your books and how to contact you. But let's go to Mike
All right.
just for a moment. Take it away,
All
Mikey.
All right. Thank you. Thank you.
Yep. Up in our next few months, January 16th, we have our annual predictions panel. February 20th, we have a program. Essential Oils. March 19th, we have the Makau Usui Reiki Crystal Awakening. And April 16th, we have a program on past life regression. All information for these and more will be on our website at prskc.org.
Yes, thank you very much, Mike. And just to let you guys know, the next couple of weeks coming up on this radio program, next week we have David Talley talking to us about crystals and crystal grids and energy work. The following week, on December 30th, we have Dr. Lamar Dotes. Dr. Lamar's products are wonderful homeopathic products for your health and well-being, so look forward to that. I want to go back to you real quick, Bill, just to wrap up. If you can quickly tell
Sure.
us where we can find your information, the book, find your beautiful artwork and your wonderful music and all of the above.
Absolutely. Thank you, Nikki. You can always find everything that I do at my main website, which is BillFossWorld.com. That's BillFossWorld.com. You can find all of the books, the CDs, the workbooks, both books. You can find everything there, as well as my art over the past couple of decades, my music, the meditation as well. The books are also available. The books and the CDs are also available from Amazon. So a lot of people like to go on there if they've got Prime or they got free shipping. You know, you can get it in 2 days. If you want a signed copy, go to the website. As soon as I get your order through, you know, it's a PayPal link or whatever, then I'll send you the book out, and I always hand sign the books when people purchase through the website. So it's really wonderful to connect with everybody in that way.
Wonderful, and it's wonderful to connect with you as well, Bill.
Oh, thank you, thank you,
and thank you so much for being here this evening. We have about 40 seconds left, so go right ahead with what you'd like to.
I just want to let everybody out there know I'm going to be at what's coming up. We've got the newsletter, so stay tuned for that. I'll be in Phoenix, Arizona. I've got two expos there in January, so you'll receive information on that. That'll be on my website as well. I am teaching a two-day workshop in Sedona, Arizona. So if you like to travel out to Sedona, the 23rd, The 22nd and the 23rd of January in Sedona, Arizona, will be a great workshop at the Creative Life Center. And
we've just been cut off, Bill.
All right.
I'm sorry, but they've just cut off our episode.
Hey, no
but
worries.
Thank you
no worries.
So much. You are fabulous.
Hey,
you're wonderful.
Wow. Wow. Well, thank you, Nikki. I just, you know, it's been quite a labor of love. You know, just being out on the road and just continuing to travel and work with people. So.
Oh, well, thank you very much, Bill. You are very appreciated, and I hope to have you again sometime.
All right. Thanks, Nikki.
Thank you.
All right, bye-bye.
Have a wonderful
bye-bye.
Evening.
Thanks, you too. All right, bye-bye.